confidence that the Lord indeed prepares a table for his people. We open the scriptures this morning at this time to 2 Samuel chapter 9. Which lays before us that wonderful account of David's kindness to Mephibosheth, and indeed a testimony of the greater kindness of our eternal King, the Lord Jesus. 2 Samuel chapter 9, where God's word speaks to us this way. Now David said, "Is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. So when they called him to David, the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" He said, "At your service." Then the king said, "Is there not still someone of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God?" And Ziba said to the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan who is lame in his feet." So the king said to him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said to the king, "Indeed, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel in Lodabar." Then King David sent and brought him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, had come to David, he fell on his face and prostrated himself. Then David said, "Mephibosheth?" And he answered, "Here is your servant." So David said to him, "Do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake, and will restore to you all the land of Saul, your grandfather, and you shall eat bread at my table continually." Then he bowed himself and said, "What is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog as I?" King called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, "I have given your master's son all that belonged to Saul and to all his house. You therefore and your sons and your servants shall work the land for him, and you shall bring in the harvest that your master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, your master's son, shall eat bread at my table always." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, "According to all my lord the king has commanded his servant, so will your servant do. As for Mephibosheth," said the king, "he shall eat at my table like one of the king's sons." Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all who dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants of Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he ate continually at the king's table, and he was lame in both his feet. 2 Samuel chapter 9. Let's hear once again the words of verse 13. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he ate continually at the king's table, and he was lame in both his feet. May the Lord so prosper the reading of his holy word for his glory's sake, for, even as we prayed earlier, the increase and the support of our faith. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, what is it that you do when you receive a dinner invitation in the mail? Or boys and girls, if your grandparents come for a visit to join you at supper time, is there not a sense of excitement in the family home, an air of excitement? Or if you invite your friends for a birthday celebration, I'm sure you can hardly wait for the day to come. If there is a wedding celebration to attend, a once-in-a-lifetime experience for the newly wedded groom and bride, there is much shared joy. And our presence honors the new couple as we join with them in their first meal as husband and wife, and they have honored us by their invitation. When you are invited to join someone for supper, it is an occasion set apart. And in doing so, we partake of the staples of life. It is an opportunity to enjoy fellowship, friendship, companionship. We experience what we call communion. There is a union when we experience that close association of that friendship that is acknowledged around a meal. Now, in a very real way, we enjoy that with our families each day. Without doubt, the kitchen table is the most important piece of furniture in the whole house. But it always adds something when we have special guests around the table. Now, this morning, we have a table set before us. This morning, we've gathered in the anticipation of the celebration of the Lord's Supper. We answered the invitation given to come to the Lord's table. This is no ordinary supper. This morning we may again be reminded that the host of our meal is no ordinary host. Jesus is our host. He is our King. And the King invites his subjects to his banqueting table. This table, a picture of that great table to come in the world that is yet beyond us. It's an invitation like none other. And by means of our scripture lesson this morning, we are given what we may call a snapshot. A picture of the joy that is ours to be experienced at each Lord's Supper celebration. What is more, those who belong to Christ will by faith, also this morning, will by faith see something of the glory that is awaiting all those who take their place at the eternal banqueting table. Now, our scripture lesson feeds our faith by showing us something of God's covenantal love. We might be nursed through the word of the Lord by being reminded that the Lord's loving kindness is better than life. And so we hear the word of God preached under the theme, God's people called and invited to the King's table. And we will see as we continue to hear something of the Lord's gesture toward his people, a gesture of kind mercy. And in so with the eyes of faith, receiving that gesture, we'll also receive a testimony of God's gracious covenants. That gesture of mercy and kindness. It would have been no surprise to anybody if David would have had a little regard for the family line of Saul. We recall how David was hunted by his father-in-law as a fugitive, a desperado, an outlaw. It was the practice of the kings in heathen countries to wipe out those who had any previous connection to the throne. David was not, by God's grace, a heathen king. Yes, he had many failures. And as with Saul, the scriptures show David to be a failed king, albeit a repentant failure. It was only the grace and mercy of the Lord and his irrevocable covenant that kept David from being removed from the kingship as Saul had been. And in God's grace, David purposed to uphold the principles of the covenants. The principles of covenantal living. Saul may have been David's sworn enemy, yet David would show kindness to Saul's house. Jonathan had surrendered to David his own rights, as it were, surrendered to David's calling, to David's kingship, and he did so in faith. And David had sworn that he would kindly deal with Jonathan and his family. Jonathan made a covenant with David, as we read of it in 1 Samuel chapter 20. And at that time, Jonathan pleaded with David not only to show him the kindness of the Lord while he was still alive, but that kindness would never be cut off from his house. And we're shown in our scripture lesson what the Spirit of the Lord can do in a heart of a man. Jonathan stands in direct contrast to his father Saul. And how precious was the gift of faith that belonged to Jonathan. How marvelous the grace of Christ. And by means of that grace, Jonathan was able to win a great victory over his own ambitions. He did not put himself first, but yielded to the will of God. And when it came to part, David and Jonathan, you can picture the bear hug that they gave to each other. They could hardly let go. Deeply moved, David bowed 3 times before Jonathan as the one he still considered his superior. And there was no desire whatsoever in David's heart to push Jonathan aside. And now David is about to make good on his promise. David would show loyalty to Jonathan by ministering to Jonathan's family. When Jonathan died, he had a son, 5 years old, the Bible tells us. And when news of Jonathan's death came to this child's nurse, to his caregiver, she tried to hurry him along, but he fell and became lame for life. It must have been a very severe fall. And now at the height of David's power, the Lord puts into his heart to demonstrate mercy and kindness to Saul's offspring. And through Ziba, David is informed of Mephibosheth. Ziba calls attention to the fact that Mephibosheth is lame in his feet, perhaps wondering, how could this man do honor to the new king? Nonetheless, Mephibosheth is brought to Jerusalem. And as he's brought before David, we see his reluctance. Perhaps in his mind, he's wondering, now what in the world am I going to say? Should he refer to his misery and hope for mercy? He's been given no standing of himself. His grandfather had tormented David. What would a 5-year-old boy known of David's promise to Jonathan? He had nothing to plead on. Brothers and sisters, of ourselves, that's exactly the case with us too. We have no pleading grounds on the basis of what we have done. Not what our hands have done can save our guilty soul. Not what our toiling flesh has borne can make our spirit whole. Not what we feel or do can give us peace with God. Not all our prayers, our sighs, our tears can bear our awful load. We can only plead on the only pleading ground, the mercies of Christ, the love of God. It is through Jesus, by Jesus, and with Jesus that we're brought into the presence of our King. King Jesus himself brings his subjects to the banqueting table. Thy grace alone, O God, to us can pardon speak. Thy power alone, O Son of God, can this sore bondage break. No other work save thine. No other blood will do. No strength save that which is divine can bear us safely through. And what a glory then to plead the mercies of God through Christ. In our prayers, we pray in the name of Jesus. We pray for the sake of Jesus in our hearts. We realize that without King Jesus, we are nothing. What richness we see in our scripture text. When Mephibosheth is brought into David's court, he falls prostrate before David. After all, he's in the king's presence. And David calls Jonathan's son by name. Is that you, Mephibosheth? Mephibosheth? And here too, David reveals something of the loving kindness of the Lord who remembers sinners. At David's tender call, anxiety diminishes. Mephibosheth, do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for your father's sake. The land of your grandfather Saul will be restored to you. Saul would have had substantial holdings. And now Mephibosheth is given the right to live from his own inheritance. And certainly this is a picture of salvation, to enjoy the inheritance, to enjoy life in the king's presence. Mephibosheth lived in Lodabar, a city located in Gilead, the east of the Jordan, about 10 miles south of the Sea of Galilee, tribal region of Benjamin. He was far, far from the royal estate. He was very far from the king's court, in a certain sense displaced, almost like a refugee, living in a little unknown place, the edge of a desert. And we too of ourselves, left in our sin and misery, are far, far from the estates. Left in our sin and misery, we are far from the royal courtyard, far, far away from the inheritance. But then those who are given that gracious gift of faith, those who are lavished with the grace of God, called into the presence of the king, called home by the king, called by his bountiful mercy and kindness, come to experience the fullness of life. For the sake of Christ, God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth, will show us, puny creatures of the dust that we are, kindness. And the Mephibosheths of this world will be provided for, as David promises to care for this lame man from his table. So too those who in grace are brought to the Lord's table. Belgic Confession, our beautiful Belgic, speaks of the sacraments given to us to aid, do you remember, young people, to aid in our infirmities. Belgic 33 begins this way: we believe that our gracious God, taking account of our weakness and infirmities, has ordained the sacraments for us, thereby to seal unto us his promises, to be pledges of the goodwill and grace of God toward us. What a beautiful pledge. And also to nourish and strengthen our faith. The church is a hospital, and we are all infirm. We are not just simply crippled, but without God's intervening grace, we remain dead in our trespasses. So the Bible wants to teach us again something of the wonder of God's gracious covenant, God's promises. Sure, Mephibosheth will be provided for. The king will share his meals. The table will be set. Mephibosheth didn't need to earn David's favor. It was promised on the grounds of the covenant that David had made with Jonathan. Is it because of Mephibosheth? No, not at all. It is for Jonathan's sake. This is his pleading ground, and in that covenant he has a direct pledge from the king. And Mephibosheth needs that, because the arguments of unbelief must be answered. Questions like, who do you think you are? A cripple. A cripple from a family at enmity with David. Have you forgotten whose family you belong to? Do you think the king will have you sit at his table? What honor can he gain with someone like you? David answers those arguments, those questions. It was for Mephibosheth. It was for Jonathan's sake. And for you and I, it's for Jesus' sake. That must always be the answer to the questions of our unbelief. Am I worthy? Are you worthy? I am not worthy. You are not worthy. But Christ makes us worthy. For the sake of the mediator of the covenant of grace, we are welcome. The Lord will not put his children to shame. Mephibosheth is deeply impressed with his meeting with David. He accepts David's kindness with humility. He bows deeply. He uses the expression of a dead dog, to acknowledge his unworthiness. For himself, he has no merit. A dog in Middle Eastern culture was considered contemptible. How much more a dead dog? Mephibosheth saw himself as such, in that he knew he had not merited David's kindness, and there was no way for him to repay it. And we must acknowledge again before our holy, holy God that we of ourselves have no merits, and that we depend absolutely on the merits of Christ. David, as an agent of the covenant, shows that there is room around the table for the weak and the helpless. David is the one who foreshadows the greater David to come, the one beloved of God, God's only beloved Son. And when God in Christ looks down on the poor in spirit, the one who has been brought to realize his or her own inadequacy, he does so with the merits of his cross. Never forget, congregation, when the Lord and Savior, our good shepherd, calls us, "Come unto me, all ye who are weak and heavy laden." When he calls us to his table, when he calls us to respond in faith, to trust and obey, he does so with arms filled with abundant goods. Every day Mephibosheth could eat at the king's table in the palace. In fact, David provided for the broader circle. Ziba too was looked after. He who had 15 sons and 20 servants, and they too would enjoy their share. What a blessed message for us, congregation. We who are infirm. We who are in the infirmary may confess that the Lord, in his covenantal mercy through Jesus Christ, that we may then taste the Lord's kindness. He, and let us not forget it, has prepared a table for us. His loving kindness is greater than life. He has called us to be his guests. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Beloved, if a covenant between two people, think of a marriage, think of David and Jonathan now, that covenant can be upheld, as we see from David's faithfulness to his covenant with Jonathan, how much more? How much more faithful will the Christ be to the covenant in which he lives with all those who belong to him? What is your only comfort in life and in death? Oh, that I belong. That I belong to my faithful Savior. That I belong to the one who has given life so that I may receive my life. To know that Jesus, the mediator of the covenant of grace, has come to seek the lost and to save them to the uttermost, the Bible tells us. To know that those who humbly come before the Lord are restored to their forfeited inheritance. And to know that the sheep of the Good Shepherd are an entitled people with a better paradise than that which was lost. And to know that the Lord will take into his own communion with himself his people. He will sit with them at his table and feast with them. Oh, oh, how rich we are. May God so, by means of his word, by the celebration of the sacraments, fill us with David's confession, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, forever, forever at the King's table. Amen.